We'll say good morning. Let's learn a little bit of Gemara. So today's daf is Memhei 45. We're gonna pick up on Mem Dalet Amud Beis 44b. We left off Tani Shila. So Tani Shila. Shila taught Shalosh Midos Benara. So we'll say there are three different categories of punishment for a Nara who committed adultery. How so? If witnesses show up when she's in her father-in-law's home, now we'll say, Beis Chameh, father-in-law's home, is another way of saying after Nisuin. Because remember, again, it's very interesting, actually. We know that typically, after a couple got married, they very often went to live with the husband's parents. So the Gemara says, they say, if witnesses show up after she is already in her father-in-law's home, i.e. after Nisuin, so what's the halacha, shezinsa, that she committed adultery? So excuse me, ba'ola eidim veis chameh shezinsa beveis aviha. Witnesses show up while she's already living in her father-in-law's home, i.e. after Nisuin, that she had committed adultery while living in her father's home, which Rabbos say is another way of saying, witnesses show up after Nisuin, that she committed adultery during Erusin, so what's the halacha? Soklinosa. The halacha is that we go and we administer skila, and we administer skila by the entranceway of her father's home. Rashi says over here, Sokol and Osa Pesach Beis Aviyah. The Hachik Siv, this is what the Pasuk says, Votziu Esanara Pesach Beis Aviyah, Vahai Bebo Edom Beis Chameha Ksiv, Tohabamotzi Shemra Ksiv, De Mefarish Bekra Vaakra Vaileha Alma Kishinisis. So we'll say, so again, remember, what the Gemara is pointing out, this is not a case of Motzi Shemra. And the case of Motzi Shemra is where the husband himself initiates the claim. This is where the husband is not initiating the claim, but rather, again, witnesses are coming, claiming that they have information. They know that she committed adultery while she was in her father's home. But again, remember, in her father's home means that she already had Erusin. So we go ahead and we stone her by the entrance way of her father's home. Kilomar, why by the entrance way of her father's home? Re'u gidolim shegidaltem. So Rabbi says, it's actually very interesting. So literally we say to the parents, look at the child you raised that went ahead and committed this transgression. Rashi says, gidolim shegidaltem, kilomar, mibayis zeh yata sahanavala shebazinsa. Look what you did. Whatever you did as parents, you obviously failed, because look at what your child did. I will say, I've always felt, this is always very interesting, because one of the greatest tensions of parenting is how much responsibility parents really have for what their grown children do. It's a very interesting tension. Do we say that anything that kids do ultimately somehow is a reflection of the home in which they were raised? Or do we say, look, yes, everybody is impacted by the home in which they're raised, but at some point in time, people have bechira. People have free choice. So if a child ends up making bad decisions, they're not necessarily a poor reflection on the parents. Parents could have done anything and everything correctly, but a child still has bechira. So it's interesting. So you see clearly that... I'm sorry?
This is a Nara.
So the truth is, again, remember, so this is already a younger person. So for a younger person to have committed such an act of immorality already, then again, Lemaisa, it's almost like the Torah feels it must have been something in the home. But Lav Dafka, the same concept applies to older children. In any event, just something to keep in mind. If witnesses show up in her father's home, meaning again, she's still in Arusa. So they show up while she's in Arusa, that she committed adultery while she is in Arusa. Soklin Osa Pesach Sharair. Then we go ahead and we stone her. We stone her by the entranceway of the city. And Rashi says over here, Dichsiv, Ki Yihya Nara Besula Ma'orasa, Votseisim Es Shnehem Al Shara Irahi. So we'll say again, so the Gemara is just pointing out over here that different punishments apply to depending on when the witnesses come forward. If witnesses come forward after Nisuin, then Skila takes place by her father's home. If witnesses come forward during Erusin while she's still in Arusa, then stoning takes place ultimately by the gate of the city. Sarcha Ulubasov Bagra. Now, Basan, this is an interesting case. Let's say she committed adultery while she was a Nara. But Lemaisa, witnesses only came after she became a bogeres. So what is the halacha? Tidon bechenek. Then ultimately, again, her punishment is strangulation. So she doesn't get skila in this type of situation because now she's a bogeres. Mara says, that to say, lemeimra, tuchal hecha di ishtani gufa ishtani ktala. Are you telling me then that whenever she experiences a physical change, then ultimately, again, her death sentence changes as well? Because we'll say, remember, skila is the unique halacha, is the punishment that is reserved for a na'ara who committed adultery. adultery. But again, if a, let's say an adult woman, a full-fledged adult woman, Bogeres, commits adultery, so the halacha is it's chenek. So we see over here that even though the adultery occurred when she was a nara, but if the witnesses only show up after she's a Bogeres, the Gemara is suggesting that she gets chenek, which would seem to indicate to us that because she has experienced a physical change, because she has physically changed, therefore what? Her punishment changes as well. So the Gemara says, so we to say over here, are you telling me here that any time that she experiences a physical change, i.e. she becomes a Bogeres, that her punishment changes as well? Or mini, or raise a kasha, na'ara hama'urasa shazinsa, if you have a betrothed na'ara who committed adultery, umisha bagra hotziyaleha shemra. So I'll say, now follow this case. This is a case, remember, we use the phrase motzi shemra to go ahead and mean one of two things. The case of motzi shemra means that a husband comes forward after nisuin and says, my wife is not a basula. So I'll say, so there are one of two resolutions to that case. Resolution number one is witnesses come forward indicating that she did in fact commit adultery, in which case she's executed through skila. It's number one, possibility one. Possibility two is the husband is a liar, in which case what happens? There is a 100 zuz fine and lashes. So listen to this case. So if you have a situation that what happens, so you have an ara murasa that committed adultery, ukishabagra hotiala shemra. And what happens? He was motzi shemra after she became Bulgaria. So look at Rashi, Hotziala Shemra, Shekinsa Mishabagra. Remember again, so she had Erisin while she was a Nara, then he marries her once she is a Bogeres. He claims that he did not find Bisulim, and then it turns out that he lied. So remember again, so he claims Nus happened during Erisin when she was a Nara. He married her once she was a Bogeres. Now it turns out that he lied. So what's Talacha? So who ain't a loka ve'eino nosein me'asela. So we'll say the halacha is he does not get malchus. He does not get malchus as if he lied, and he does not have to pay the 100 sela. I'm sorry, I said zuz before. It's 100 sela. However, he v'zomemeha makdim lebeis haskila. But she and the false witnesses, they get stoned. So the Gemara says, what? He v'zomemeha v'sakadaitcha. Could it be that she and the false witnesses get stoned? Ella, ohi. Rather, what do we say? We'll say either she or the witnesses get stoned. In other words, what does that mean? That again, one or the other, if the witnesses are telling the truth and she did commit adultery while she was an arusa, right? While she was Beveh Savi, or she was an Ara, while she was an Ara Murasa, then she gets stoned. But if the witnesses turn out that they were Edim Zomamin, Rabbos, remember again, in order to get reciprocal punishment, there's a specific process of Edim Zomamin. Not every time you're a false witness do you get Hazon, do you get reciprocal punishment. But if they were Edim Zomamin, then Enoch Nami, they would get Skila. Rabbos says, so what do you see over here? You see over here that even though her status, physically, she has changed. Because remember again, at this point in time, she's a Bogeres. If it turns out that the witnesses were correct and she did commit adultery as a Nara, what is her punishment? Her punishment is skila. What do you see from here? That even though she physically changed from a Nara to a Bogeres, she still gets the same punishment of skila. So this seems to fly in the face of what we said before, because beforehand we said that chevan di ishtani gufa, ishtani ktala. Once she experiences physical change, so her punishment changes as well. Here we see that's not the case. Same punishment of skila. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Motzi Shemra Kamrit, are you bringing up a case of Motzi Shemra? Now if you look at Rashi says, Motzi Shemra Kamrit, La Asuve Asircha, Ulabasof Bagra, Detani Tana, Da Airi Beba'ul Eidim Vesavin. I want to be clear. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that there are two different types of cases. The case that the Gemara mentioned before was a situation where witnesses show up. Husband's not initiating anything. Witnesses show up and say that she committed adultery while she was in Nara. At this point in time already, she is a Bogeres. So what did the Braisa say? So the Braisa said she gets chenek, strangulation, as opposed to skila. Why? Because since she experienced a physical change from between the time of the Avera and now, therefore her sentence changes as well. The Gemara then brings a case of Motzi Shemra. What's the case of Motzi Shemra? Remember, what's the chilukovir? Motzi Shemra is who initiates the claim against her? husband. Husband claims you're not a basula, you must have committed adultery during erusin. Then what does the Gemara say? If let's say again, he's claiming she committed adultery during erusin, she was a nara during erusin, now she's a bogeres, right? She was a bogeres, he didn't soon after she became a bogeres. So then what's the halacha? She's still subject to skila. So the Gemara wanted to bring a raya from the case of Motzi Shemra to the case of Eid, to contradict the case of Eidim. All the Gemara now says, Amar Rava Motzi Shemra, comrade. No. You're bringing a raya from Motzi Shemra. Shiny Motzi Shemra, the chidishu. Motzi Shemra case is its own chidish, is its own unique circumstance. Daha, nichnisa l'chupa v'lo nivala, ba'alma v'zinsa b'chenek. Because we'll say, listen to this, under normal circumstances, if let's say a man marries a woman, v'lo nivala, and they did not yet have relations, v'zinsa, and then again witnesses come along and say that she committed adultery prior to the nisuin, the halach is what? Bechenek, she's punished with strangulation. V'ilu motzi shemra b'skila. And yet ultimately again, motzi shemra is its own, has its own punishment of skila. Rabbos, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is you can't contrast the case of motzi shemra with the case of Eidim because they're two separate kinds of cases. Amalei Rav Chunin b'Rabbi Rav Yehoshua l'Rava, Dilma ki chodis rachmana heicha delo ishtani gufa. So Rav Huna b'Rabbi Rav Yehoshua says to Rava, well, maybe the only time the Torah makes its chiddush is when she did not experience a physical change. Ava heicha de ishtani gufa lo chodis rachmana. But perhaps when she did experience a physical change, perhaps the Torah's chiddush is not in effect. Ela amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak ishtani velo ishtani tanohi. Rather, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says the truth is, this discussion of Ishtani, when she experiences a physical change, i.e. from Na'aros to Bagros, does that change her sentence or not? This, in fact, is a machlokis tanoim. This nan, because we learned, chat'o, Rabbi Sina, this is actually something very interesting. So chat'o, so this case over here is that if you did something b'shogeng, that had you did it intentionally, you would be chayiv karis. So chato, actually it's this week's parasha, that if you go ahead and you do something b'shogeg, that had you done it intentionally, you would be chayev karis. There's a specific type of karbon that you have to bring. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, chato at shalon, I'm sorry, well, let me finish the phrase, chato at shalon isma. So let's say you have the following case. The halacha is like this, if a regular person doesn't have Avera, this is all b'shogeg, but it's the type of Avera that had you done it intentionally, had you done it b'meiz, you'd be chayv karis. So if you're a regular person, you bring a certain type of karban. However, again, if you are the Kohen Gadol, or you are the Melech, you bring a separate type of karban. So here's the interesting shayla, chet o atshelo nismano v'nismano. Bosei, let's say you committed the particular Avera while you were a regular guy, and then what? But you realized your chet after you were appointed to your new position as king or Kohen Gadol. So the obvious shayla is going to be what? What type of carbon do you bring? Do you bring the commoner's carbon? Or do you bring now the king Kohen carbon? Look at Rashi just a moment. Chato achalon esmanu, nasi umashuach. So if you have a nasi, a king, or mashuach, a Kohen, she'en carbonem kishal yachid, right? Their carbon is not like an individual's carbon. Sha nasi may be seer, umashuach may be par. So a nasi brings a seer, and the Kohen brings a par. So what's the halacha? So chato achalon esmanu, v'nismanu. So if they committed the Avera, remember I'll say again, this is a specific case of an Avera, if done b'mezid would carry a chi of kares, and if done, but it's done accidentally. So a good example of this would be, you ate chametz on Pesach. For argument's sake, you ate chametz on Pesach. So if you eat chametz on Pesach intentionally, there's a chi of kares, but you did it unintentionally. So they did this chet before they were appointed to their positions of king Kohen Gadol, vinis manu, and then they were appointed. What's the halacha? Harihin ked yotos. So we'll say the halacha is that they are like common people. Rashi says, Harihin ked yotos, bikivsa v'seira sha'afa pish, nishtana gufam, lo nishtana karbonam. Oh, we'll say, now what's the chap over here? So they bring the commoner's carbon. Now what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that even though their status has changed, we don't necessarily go by what their current status is. Now what do we go by? We go by their status at the time of the commission of the sin. Since at the time that they committed the sin, they were commoners, therefore they bring the commoner's carbon. Rabbi Shimon says, "Imnodalahem." So we'll say, remember, that would be the opinion that said that afapid ishtanu gufa, Lo ishtanu kitala. That we don't care if you experienced a change of status from the time that you committed this sin until now. What we can only care about is what? What was your status at the time of the sin? Your punishment is dictated by that reality. We do not care what changed in the interim. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Imno delahem achlo nismanu, if they found out, meaning about their sin, before they were appointed to their new positions, meaning if they found out while they were still common people, chayovim, then they are chayiv in the commoner's karban. However, mishenismanu peturim. But if they only find out about their sin once they became kohen gadol, once they became king, then what? Peturim. And Rashi said, look at the last Rashi on the daf. I'm sorry?
The whole point is that they did it on purpose.
No, they did it. This is shogeg. This is all shogeg. Because remember, if it's mazid, it's kares. And if it's kares, there's no carbon. Look at Rashi Peturin, Legamre. Now, this is very dramatic. So Rabbi Shimon will say that if they only find out about it after again, they already have their new high positions, they are Peturin from a carbon totally. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that once you experience a change of status, so that change of status changes all of your halachic realities. Therefore, again, if I'm the new Kohen Gadol and I only find out that I committed this Avera when I was a Kohen, I didn't know about it until now, because my status have changed, so therefore my obligations have changed as well, and I'm potter, totally potter from the carbon. So I will say, just understand why the Gemara is bringing this down. The Gemara is trying to, because remember again, we had a machlokes, or we seem to, I shouldn't say machlokes, we seem to have a steer contradiction in cases, meaning, namely, you have a Nara who committed adultery, and then became a Bogeres, and witnesses, either witnesses initiate the claim or husband initiates the claim after she's a Bulgaris. Let's say it turns out that the case, that the allegations are true, she committed adultery. So the Bryce has said by the case, the first Bryce said by the case of the Aiden that she gets chenek, strangulation, which of course again is a change because as a Nara, she would have gotten what? Skila. Second Brisa says, even though she became Bulgaris, she still gets Skila. So we thought it's a contradiction. The Gemara is saying, actually, it's not a contradiction. It's two different opinions. It's a machlokes about how change in status impacts previous transgressions. So one opinion says that when you transgress, essentially we look at your status at the time of transgression, and that's the status that follows you. We don't care about any changes. Second opinion says, no, we absolutely take into account changes. And the Gemara is rooting that fundamental machlokes over here in the case of the Nasi and the Kohen Gadol. So the Rabbanon will say that if you remembered, I'm sorry, the Rabbanon will say that Lemaisa, if you sinned as a commoner, your carbon is a commoner's carbon. It doesn't matter if you experience change in status. Rabbi Yishai is absolutely not true. If you remember as a commoner that you sinned, then you'll bring the carbon. But if you only remember after your change in status, you're totally potter. Says the Gemara Emer, the Shemini the Rabbi Shimin, the Azul Af Basar Yediya. So we'll say, so now the Gemara says, one second. Maybe we should say that according to Rabbi Shimon goes even after Yediya. Rabbi will say, now in this case, Yediya means Zman Yediya Sachit. That let's say that Rabbi Shimon says that you even go after the timing when you find out about your transgression. The Azul Basar Yediya, Velo Azul Basar Chata Mishamisle. But Rabbi will say, is it possible to say that Rabbi Shimon goes Basar Yediya, but not Basar Chata, meaning Rabbi Shimon, so is it possible to say that Rabbi Shimon totally ignores when the sin itself was committed? Meaning, how could it be that Rabbi Shimon will say that we totally ignore the fact that the sin itself was committed when the individual was still a commoner? Imkain, Laisi Karban Kihashta. Right? If that's the case, then let him bring a karban in accordance of his status, bless you, in accordance with his status right now. To which the Gemara says, Mashuach par venosi seir. Let the Mashuach bring a par. The Mashuach refers to the coin. And the Nasi bring a seer. In other words, look at Rashi for just a moment. Emor de Shamin Alei, Kilomar Lekalaman de Amar Hacha Ishtani Karban, Mishum Shinuya de Gufa, Midalome Chayablu Rabbi Shimon Leno de Lahem Mishenismanu, Li Isuye Kidahashta Ela Paturan Legamri Kamar, the time of the day Mishum de Boy Yedia Vechata Bechat Gufa. So we'll say again, could it possibly be that Rabbi Shimon just only pays attention to the Zman Yedia Sachet, he only pays attention to the time when you find out and pays absolutely no attention at all to the fact, to the actual time in which the sin was committed? Rather, what we should say is, Rather, what we should say is that Rabbi Shimon holds that not only do you go after the Zman Yediyas Achet, but you also have to incorporate the Zman Achet. But if that's the case, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shimon, let the Mashuach and let the Melech go ahead and bring a carbon in accordance with your status right now. The Gemara says, Ha'amar li Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Tana, excuse me, Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Tani Tidon Biskila. So the Gemara says, but one second, but we learned that Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tana that let her status or let her sentence ultimately be with Skila. This is talking about Rabbi in the case of where that she was Mizana when she was a Nara and then she became a Bogeres. V'amai, but why is that so? Na'ara ha'me'uras amrachmana v'ha'bogeresi. But Rabbi say, how can you possibly say that if the girl was Mizana when she was a Nara and now she became a Bogeres, that you're going to go ahead and punish her with Skila? After all, the Torah says that you punish the Na'ara ha'me'urasa, and she is no longer a Na'ara, she is now a Bogeres. Amra Bilai Amakra, Hana'ara, Hana'ara Shahisa Kvar. So we'll say, Na'ara Bilai makes a very interesting drasha. He says, because the Pasuk says, Hana'ara, right? The Lashon over here is Votziu es Hana'ara al Pesach Beisavia. So we'll say, the Gemara understands that Hana'ara, the Na'ara, means Hana'ara Shahisa Kvar. The Na'ara that she was, past tense, which indicates to us what? That even Lemaisa, if she's not a Na'ara now, but she was a Na'ara in the past, that Lemaisa, she's still Chayeves in Skila. See, even though, again, one more time, even though when she committed the act, she was a Na'ara, and now she's transformed into a Bogeres, and remember, technically speaking, if a Bogeres commits adultery, what's the halacha? What's her punishment? Chenek. So what's this? You hear the tension that's happening over here? The tension is, do we essentially just look at your status at the time of the commission of the sin and totally ignore your current contemporary status? Or do we take your current status into account as well somehow in the formulation of your punishments? The Gemara is suggesting over here that by Na'ara Me'urasa, we may actually have Gzer Sakasa. We may actually have a pasuk that tells us that we do not look at your current status at all. Rather, we are totally fixated on the status of as the time that you committed the sin. Hana'ara, the girl, even if she was a Na'ara, i.e. past tense, even if now she is a Bogeres, she still gets Skila. So if that's the case, and now let's assume for a moment that now we've just established this halacha, that indeed, based on the pasuk, that if she was a Na'ara at the time of the transgression, time of the adultery, and now she's a Bulgara, she's still going to get Skila. Well, if that's the case, let's carry this then through to logical extension. Ei, Yahi, Milka Nami Lilki, Umeya Sela Nami Lishalim. If that's the case, Rabbi Say, if this is a regular case of Moti Shemra, and the regular case of Moti Shemra, remember, is what? Where the husband comes along after the wedding night and says that she was not a Besula, so what's the halacha? Normally he would get Malkus, and he would pay 100 Sela. But Rabbi Say, what is the halacha in the case of where she is a Bogeres? So we established before that if she is a Bogeres, then halacha lemaisa, he does not get Malkus and he does not pay the Mea Sela. So the obvious kasha is why? So you hear the Gemara is asking over here that be true to what you're saying. If you're going to tell me that we don't care about the fact that she's a Bogeres now, but rather what are we looking at? We look at her status at the time of the actual commission of the sin. If that's the case, then lemaisa, remember, if the husband is Moti Shimra once she is a Bogeres, and it turns out that he lied, then he should be Chayiv in the Malkus and the 100 Sela. Yet we know the halacha is what? That if a husband is Moti Shimra on his Bogeres wife about acts that she did when she was a Nara, he is not Chayiv to the 100 Sela Malkus. So the Gemara says, it's incongruous. There is a level of incongruity. Right, good. I like incongruity, though. That sounds nice. Right? Thank you. So the idea over here is it doesn't seem to make sense, right? It doesn't seem to make sense that on one hand you're telling me that she's treated like an Ara Mura, so even though now she's a Bulgaris, but yet he doesn't have the same punishments. So remember, again, I want to be clear. So remember, just follow the progression over here. Rabbi Eli is the one who makes this drasha. He says, Hanara even means not just the Nara, but what? the one who was a Na'ara, which means that according to Rabbi Eloi, if now she is a Bogeres, but she was a Na'ara at the time of the transgression, at the time of the adultery, you can give her, you punish her with Skila. That's Rabbi Eloi. So Rabbi Chanina says to Rabbi Eloi, okay, I hear that drasha, but if that's the case, then when if the husband is Motzi Shimra on his wife who is a Bogeres, he should also what? He should also be punished and simulate if she was a Na'ara. Meaning 100 sela and lashes. So that's Rabbi Chanina to Rabbi Eloi. So also, this is very funny. Amrlei, so Rabbi Eloi responds, Rachmana nitzlan mehaidaita. God should save us from logic like that. In other words, that is ridiculous. So both say, so remember, that's Rabbi Eloi saying to Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina shoots back, Adrabba, Rachmana nitzlan midaita didach. So say, this is amazing, right? So Rabbi Chanina shoots back and says, really? God should save us from your reasoning. Can you imagine this unfolding in the base measures, right?
Because Rashi says,
Yeah, that's right. The laws, right. So what I was saying, it's amazing. So what's the pshat? The time am I? So what's the logic over here? On Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avin, v'tim Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba. So the shaila is, Rabbi Eloi obviously reacts in a very strong fashion, but yet for our purposes, we think Rabbi Chanina is making a pretty compelling argument. Rabbi Chanina is just saying, let's be consistent. Whatever is going to be true by the girl should be true by her husband as well. So why not? Why would Rabbi Eloi be so dismissive of Rabbi Chanina's idea? So the Gemara says, very simple. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avin v'tim Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba, very simple. Zu ma'aseha garmula. So we'll say, here's the fundamental distinction. When it comes to the girl, it's the girl's actions herself that went ahead and created this situation. Vizeh akimas svasav garmula. Right? So we'll say, remember again, the girl is in trouble. Why? Because she committed adultery. Her actions got her into this hot water. The husband got himself into trouble. If he's lying, how? Because he spoke. Right? Most men get themselves into trouble, right, when they speak. So this man went ahead and got himself into trouble because he spoke. So watch this. So we'll say, when the girl got herself into trouble because she was mizana, when was she mizana? She was mizana when she was a na'ara. V'zeh akimas sfasav garmula. And this man got himself into trouble because he spoke. And when did he speak? Emas kamechayiv hahi shaita. He got himself into trouble now. Vahi shaita bogeres havis. And now she's a bogeres. Well, so what is the Gemara saying? That essentially, no, it's not a lack of consistency. What we look at is, we're being consistent. And what are we looking at? The timing of when people commit the wrongful acts. So when the girl committed the wrongful act when she was a Na'ara, even though now she is a Bogeres, but we look at what she was at the time of the commission of the negative act. She was a Na'ara. And even though now we go, she became a Bogeres, we punish her based on the realities that were existent at the time that she committed the sinful act. So she was a Na'ara, she gets Skila. When was the husband Motzi Shema? When the wife was already a Bogeres. See, you can't go ahead. You can't go ahead and punish him for Motzi Shema as if his wife was a Na'ara, when in fact she's no longer Na'ara, she's a Bogeres. In other words, what Rabbi Eli essentially answers is, we're being consistent. We're punishing everyone in accordance with the time in which they committed the transgression. So I'll say, it sounds like it translates into a kula for the husband and a chumra for the wife, but it's really not. So therefore, I'll say, what comes out over here is that Lamaisa, if now it turns out that that the husband is Motzi Shemra at the time that she, now, I'm sorry, it turns out that if she is now Bogeres and the husband is Motzi Shemra, if it turns out that the husband is telling the truth and she was Mizana when she was an Arusa, when she was an Arusa Na'ara, then we would punish her as an Arusa Na'ara with Skila. But the Chiddush is, and really it's not such a Chiddush, it's just a logical extension of the same principle. In that case, if it turns out the husband was lying, he would not get Malkus and he would not get the 100 Sela. Why? Because Lemaisa, again, he's testifying now about a girl who is currently, or a woman about currently, is a Bogeres. And therefore, again, the penalties that a husband gets from Motzi Shemra is only when he's testifying about a Na'ara. But since at this point in time, when he's testifying, she's already a Bogeres, therefore he will be exempt from his particular punishments. Tanu Rabbanan. Moshe, I want to be clear. You should know he's exempt from the specific punishments. But obviously, if someone is found to be a liar in Beis Din, that does come with other ramifications. First of all, as we'll see, Beis Din always has the right to administer Malkus Mardus. Right, rabbinic lashes, that's always a possibility. That's number one. Plus, you become known as a liar, you're disqualified for future edus. And obviously, again, stuff like that becomes known in the general public as well, which of course impacts you. If a person is in business, it impacts your business, it impacts your ability to secure credit. We'll see this in all of the babas, this is discussed. But Lamais, it's those ramifications.
So he doesn't hold any grudge of Hanara? Because Hanara, wouldn't that mean that even though you're testifying now?
Only for the Nara. Remember that his logic is we look at the realities. So Hanara tells me that even though now she's Nara, but she was in Nara, that's good. But that same drasha doesn't apply to the husband. So Tanu Rabbanan, Nara Murasa Shesinsa. Rabbi, see if you have a Nara who was betrothed, who committed adultery, Soklin Osa Pesach Pesavia. So let's say we go ahead and we stone her at the entrance of her father's home. Ain la Pesach Beisav, if there's no entranceway to her father's home. So we'll say, let's say again, her father doesn't live in that city, or her father doesn't have a home, whatever the situation is. Soklin Osa Pesach Shar Ha'ir. We stone her by the entranceway of the city. So the Gemara says, A Pesach Shar Ha'ir Hahi, excuse me, on the entranceway of that particular city. Ubi'ir Shruba Ovdei Kochav. Rabbi said, that's true if you live in a city that has a majority Jewish population. Let's say you live in a city that has a majority Gentile population. Then Soklin Osa Pesach Beis Din. Then we go in and we stone her by the entranceway of the Beis Din. Kiyotze Badavar, similarly, Ato Omer, Ha'ovid Avodos Kochav. Rabbi said, if a person worshipped idolatry, which of course, again, is an offense punishable by death, so you're going to stone the person. Soklin Osa Al Shar Sha'avad Bo. Rabbi said, so we go ahead and we go ahead and we stone him by the city, by the gates of the city in which he went ahead, and Rashi says, I feel in the gates of the city in which he worshipped the idolatry. But if it's a city where there's a majority Gentile population, then Soklin also Pesach Beis Din. We go ahead and we stone him by the entranceway of Beis Din. So where do we know this from? The Tanarabana, because the Pasuk says, Sha'arecha. And I will say, this Pasuk is stated by Avodah Zarah. Va'otseisa es ha'isha huo es ha'isha hi asher asu es ha'davar hara azeh el sha'arecha. You will bring out the man or woman who worshipped idolatry to your gates, right? Es ha'ish o es ha'isha uskaltem bavanim v'mesu. So it says sha'arecha, it says by the gates, by Avodah Zarah. So here we see that if someone worshipped idolatry, you stone them by the gates of the city in which they worshipped. Zeh shar sha'avad bo. This refers to the gates of the city in which one went ahead and worshipped idolatry. Ata omer shar sha'avad bo, o eina ela shar shenidon bo. So you say this refers to the gates of the city in which one worshipped idolatry, or maybe it means the gates of the city in which one was judged. You know, let's remember, these are not necessarily the same thing. Let's say a person worshipped idolatry in city A, but they're brought to Beis Din in city B. So sha'arecha seems to say that we return them to be stoned by the gates of the city of city A. Because Maisa, that's Sha'arecha. How do you know that? Maybe it means the gates of the city in which the person was judged. Ne'emar Sha'arecha Lemata. V'ne'emar Sha'arecha Lemala. It says Sha'arecha Lemata. Rabbi said, that's the Sha'arecha by Avodah Zarah. And it says Sha'arecha Lemala. Rabbi said, Lemala is the case of Na'ara HaMe'urasa. Nara Me'urasa committed adultery. Ma Sha'arecha Amr Lemala. Sha'ar Sha'avad Ba. Sha'avad Ba. Af sha'arecha amr lemata, sha'ar sha'avad bo. Just like again Rabbi Osai, that the gates mentioned by Nara Murasa refer to the gates of the city in which the Avera was committed, so to by Avodah Zarah, it means the gates of the city in which the Avera was committed. Dover Acher, another...
Possible then that there would be cities in Eretz Yisrael that would be majority non-Jewish.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 Dover Acher, remember again, especially times of the Gemara, that's certainly a possibility. Dover Acher, Sha'arecha velo Sha'arei Ovdei Kochavim. Remember, it's important to understand, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, until David HaMelech conquered it, was a Yevusi city. Jews weren't, can you imagine this? Jews weren't living there. So again, you're talking, this is David HaMelech already. So that means from the time Yeshua comes in, all the way until the times of David HaMelech, Yerushalayim has a majority non-Jewish population. So definitely, it was definitely, and certainly again after Churban Beis HaMikdash, certainly possible. So the Gemara says the following, other possibility, Sha'arecha teaches you that you administer death penalties by your gates, and not by the gate, not by Gentile gates. But one second, Hai Sha'arecha fix it. But we already used that Sha'arecha to teach us that what? That you punish the person who worships Avodah Zarah by the gates of the city in which he worshipped, and not the gates of the city in which he was judged. So how can you now use that Sha'arecha for another drasha, that you only punish someone by our gates, but not by Gentile gates? Imkain Lemakra Shar. If that's case, suppose I could have just said Shar. My Sha'arecha. Why does it say Sha'arecha, your gates, plural? Shema mina tardi. Oh, because it will say the plurality. Plurality? Yeah. Good, thank you. Everybody's taking it easy on me today. Right? The plurality, right, of Sha'arecha teaches me that what I can make two drushas. I can make two drushas. One drusha is what? That number one, we only punish by the gates of Jews, not by the gates of Gentiles. That's number one. Number two, that for the Ovid Avodah Zarah, we punish him by the gates of the city in which he worshipped, and not the gates of the city in which he was judged. Now we've established that for the Ovid Kochavim, we punish him in the place in which he worshipped. Na'ara Murasa Milal. And how do we know that for Na'ara Murasa, we punish her by the gates of the city in which she transgressed? Amr Rabbi Avo. So this is actually very interesting. I love drushas like this. It's fascinating. Amr Rabbi Avo. Gamar Pesach mi Pesach. Watch this. Okay, so this is what we call like a multi-tier. I don't know like a good technical term for this. Bless you. Like a multi-tiered gezeira shava. Watch this. So step number one is Pesach Pesach. So we'll say it says Pesach. Remember what we're trying to establish. We're trying to establish that a Na'ara HaMu'urasa is stoned. Let's say, assuming there's no Pesach Beis Aviyah, there's no entrance to her father's home. So where is she stoned? At the Sha'ar of the city in which she, of her city. So we'll say, so where do we learn that out from? So watch this. It says, first step, Pesach Pesach. Entrance, it says Pesach by, bless you, by Na'ara HaMu'urasa. And it says Pesach by, and it says Pesach by the Mishkan. Okay, so follow this. So Pesach by Na'ara HaMu'urasa, Pesach by Mishkan, u'Pesach Mishar. Now, both sides, in the Pasuk, by where it says Pesach by the Mishkan, it says Veskaliach Hatzer Vesmasach Pesach Shar Hatzer. So again, so now we have Pesach Pesach, which links again Na'ara HaMu'urasa to Mishkan, and in this Pasuk by Mishkan, right after Pesach, it says Shar, and then what? And then we say u'Pesach Mishar. V'sha'ar misha'arecha. And on both sides, remember, and it says Sha'ar by Mishkan, and it says Sha'arecha by what? By Ovid Avodah Zarah. So we'll say, you hear this beautiful drasha? So we go from Na'ara HaMu'urasa, right? It says Pesach by Na'ara HaMu'urasa. It says Pesach by Mishkan. That establishes Na'ara HaMu'urasa and Mishkan. By Mishkan, now by Mishkan, it also says Sha'ar next to Pesach. So then I could what? I could go ahead and I could link Mishkan, Sha'ar of Mishkan, to Sha'ar of Avodah Zarah. And now what have I done? I've just linked Na'ara HaMu'urasa with Mishkan, Mishkan with Avodah Zarah, which by definition means what? I've now linked Na'ara HaMu'urasa with Avodah Zarah as well. Teaches me that what? That Shar, by just like by Avodah Zarah, we execute the person by the Shar of his city. So to by Na'ara HaMu'urasa, we also execute her by the gate of her city. Tan Rabbanon, let's just go a little bit weiter. So Tan Rabbanon, Hamotzi Shemra Lo Kevin Osemi Asela. We'll say if a person is motzi shemra, a husband accuses his wife of not being a basula. So what happens? So loka, he gets malchus and he has to pay 100 seller. Rabbi Huda says, now also listen, this is actually very interesting. Rabbi Huda says, Lilkos loka michol makom. So the truth is, again, you're right. Whenever you motzi shemra on your wife, that man's motzi shemra on his wife that she wasn't a basula, he always gets malchus. However, mea sela baal nosein. Lo ba'al idonos. We'll say the hundred selah penalty is only if what? Is only if he had relations with her. If he had relations with her and then she claims she wasn't the basula, then lamaisa, he has to pay the 100 selah. But if he's motzi shemra and he did not, there was no bia, when he claims he heard from witnesses that she wasn't the basula, then lamaisa, again, although he'll get the malchus, there is no 100 selah penalty. So the Gemara says, Kamiflagi beplukta Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov v'Rabbanon. The truth is, this is part of the machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon. Vachikamer, this is what it means to say. Hamotzi shemra loke v'nosein me'asela ben ba'al ben shalob ba'al ki Rabbanon. So both say, the Rabbanon hold that it doesn't matter whether there was bia or not. If after a man marries a woman, he claims that she was not a basula, whether he says he knows that because there was bia, or because he says he knows that because he heard eidos, either way, Rabbi Sai, according to the Rabbanon, you get both punishments. You get malchus, lashes, and you have to pay the 100 sela, independent of whether or not there was bia. Rabbi Huda says, lilkos loke mikol makom. Rabbi Huda says, listen, I'll agree with you that there are malchus in all circumstances. However, mea sela, Baal no sein, lo baal eino no sein. But Rabbi Huda says, at the end of the day, Rabbi Huda will say that the only time you have to pay the financial penalty is when there was actual bia. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, si'ika da'amri, so we'll say, so according to this approach over here, according to first version, there's a fundamental halachah between Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon. Rabbanon will hold that in all circumstances of Motzi Shemra, whether there was bia or not, halach l'maisa, you have to go ahead and pay the 100 zuz, and the 100 sela, and you get malchus. That's the Rabbanon. Rabbi Huda says you always get malchus in Motzi Shemra, but you only get the financial penalty if what? If l'maisa there was bia. Ika d'amri, there's another version of this exchange. Kula Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The entire, right, it's fully reflected on the view of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Akkamer, this is what it means to say. Hamotzi Shemra loke v'nosin me'asela v'hu shaba'al. So the Bryson now says, if a man is Motzi Shemra on his wife, so he gets malchus, and he pays 100 sela, as long as what? As long as he was Baal, as long as there was Bia. Rabbi Huda says, Lilkos loke mikol makom. Rabbi Huda says, no, you only go ahead, you get Malchus no matter what. V'sar Rabbi Huda, Lilkos loke mikol makom. Now, Abba says, is that true that Rabbi Huda holds that you get Malchus no matter what? Actually, Abba says, you know what, we're going to stop over here. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with this. So remember, we're kind of picking up mid. I'm leaving you off in a little above a cliffhanger over here. The shaila is like this. Remember, here's what we've established. What we've established is that halacha lemaisa, you get malchus no matter what. The only shaila is what? The shaila is in the mamon. The shaila is in the 100 sela. So one opinion says you only have to pay the financial penalty if you went ahead and there was bia. Second opinion says no financial penalty is paid even in the absence of bia. To be continued tomorrow in Mirza Hashem.